About what's really going on. No one's got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand. Holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood. Righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Praying.
Good evening. Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this Thursday, June 17th, 2021. And again, welcome you here. We'll have the phone lines open tonight. If you have a, if you want to call in, we'll be glad to take calls. And just a few, well, there's current events to talk about. The world's in an uproar. Evil is called good. Good is called evil. Where do you start? I tell you where we start. We start by praising our Heavenly Father, because everything is going according to plan. It's going according to what we read in His Word. That's just how it is. But we rejoice. More and more people are waking up to what is going on. And so we do. We rejoiced. We'll talk to you a little bit about that. They're waking up in Minneapolis, I can tell you that. And they're fixing to wake up in Portland. Oh, there's some interesting things going on there. And they are awakened in Texas. That's all there is to it. Well, let's start out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you in the blessed and holy name of your Lord and your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray, O Lord, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words this evening. That, Lord, you would strengthen me. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come upon me. I say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and dwell. Pull up a chair. And guide and direct me and your remnant, O Lord, your people. Father, as we change the seasons tomorrow, Lord, we thank you for the good seasons that come in order and come at their assigned times. We thank you for that. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, that came and died on the cross, that brought us back, allowed us to be brought back into relationship with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that redemption. Lord, for taking our sorrows and our pains and our griefs. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for your remnant, that they are strengthened, that they are encouraged. Lord, that they are like that Proverbs 31 woman that smiles at the future. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to do that very thing. Help us to cast our cares upon you and trust you in all things. We rejoice, O Lord, for health and blessings. We pray for strength and endurance in all matters. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And it is the change of the seasons. We've had some record heat. The West has had record heat. The Southwest has. And it's still springtime until tomorrow. But tomorrow it all changes. Tomorrow we go to summer. Tomorrow is the 91st day. And so the 91st day, June 18th, starting at 1 p.m. because of daylight savings times. But so we encourage it. Tomorrow's a 91st day. Take it as a Sabbath, if at all possible, if you can. Pastor used to liken the 91st days to the four 91st days to the four fingers on a hand, and then of course Passover likened as kind of the thumb day. What to do if you can't take it as a Sabbath? At least read and pray the 91st Psalms. Understanding that not everybody can. The captivity that we're in, not everybody can participate that. But the promise of Romans that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Certainly that still holds true. It does. It does. But if at all possible, we encourage you to observe the 91st days tomorrow. If you're unfamiliar with the 91st days, we'd be glad to send you the 91st days packet. We have some of the original teachings from Pastor Peters, some scripture verses and whatnot, and we'd be glad to send it to you. Just contact us. Our mailing address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, give us an update, or if you have a question or comment, we'll be glad to do that. I noticed that many things are happening down in Texas. Many things are, and they've kind of come fast and furious, it seems. Saw some headlines just today that Governor Abbott has put in a bill for more money, almost a couple billion dollars, to finish building the wall in Texas. Texas is all but under siege right now. Borders being wide open. We've been talking to you that even back starting in February, they were estimating about 100,000 people were coming across. And it's just grown from there. It's grown from there. So February, March, April, May, now we're into June. You're talking 5 months. If it's not half a million to a million illegals that have come across our southern border, and been welcomed by the federal government, been giving, and granted, I'm not about turning people away to die, but when we open up our borders, it is part of the destruction of this country. That's part of it. It's this part of the plan to destroy the culture of America. And when you destroy a nation's borders, you destroy that nation. It's as simple as that. It is. And so Texas has been under siege. They really have. But it was encouraging to see that they are continuing to build the wall. That they want to, it's not that you don't, we have fences here at the radio ranch. And it's not that we don't love our neighbor. Okay? But the neighbor might have cattle, might have horses, might have goats. We do. And the neighbor doesn't want our animals over there, so we have fences. That's not a problem. That's normal. People understand that. But this world has gone so crazy that things like fences on the border to keep out illegal aliens, well, that's just common sense. That is law. That is law. But we live today, remnant, in a time of what? A time of lawlessness. A time of lawlessness. And let's take a look. 1 Timothy 1:9. Let's turn over there if you have your Bibles. And so this lawlessness that just abounds in the land. What did we say? 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy 1:9. It is not decreasing. It is not. It is increasing. 1 Timothy. Let's take a look. See what it says here. Well, maybe that's not saying what I wanted it to. But it's the lawlessness. That's because that's 2 Timothy. How about that? So, 1 Timothy, let's start in verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Now, that is true for God's law, and that is true for the policies of man as well. It is. Realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men, and homosexuals and kidnappers, and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which we have been entrusted. And if you look right before it here, this instruction that Paul writes to Timothy, he warns him up here in verse 6. He says, for some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. And folks, that's the time that we are in. It is a time of lawlessness. It is a time that good is called evil and evil is called good. Praise the Lord that we live in this day, that we are privileged to see His Word come true in our lifetime. I mean, His Word is truth, that's for sure. But to see it, and it is encouraging as well to see Governor Abbott down in Texas and those people that support him that are trying to get a wall built, okay? Trying to work it so that, they are not destroyed. I saw another thing, and if there's any listeners in Texas that have something contrary or different to this, by all means, call and let me know. I just have the news reports to go off of. I haven't spoken to anybody down there about this. But I heard also that open carry, constitutional carry, has been passed in Texas. I say amen to that. It's a shame that it's come to that here. It's a good thing that we are able to do that, but I think it's out of more of a necessity of people to be able to protect themselves than anything else. And that there is a great need, such a great need for that to happen in Texas, that the state government has approved it. And said open carry is fine. You don't need a permit. If you're legally okay to carry a firearm, then you can do that. Folks, that's how it is here in this unwalled village of America. That's what it's come to, that you have to carry to stay safe. It's been that way in D.C. and Baltimore and Minneapolis and St. Paul and Portland and many other places where lawlessness abounds. I guess that's kind of the theme tonight. Wasn't planning on it to be, but it seems like that's where we are in this land. And it ought not to be. It ought not to be. Now, there's been times in the past that there was lawlessness in the land, or death and destruction that came through. But, you know, we're given the example in Exodus, the children of Israel, when God brought the plagues and the punishment down on Egypt, on the gods of Egypt. It says that here in Exodus 10:22 and 23, one of my favorite 10:22s. It says, Exodus 10:22 and 23, "So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings." The sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, the darkness was only one of the many plagues of Egypt. But God offered a way out, a saving grace to his children there. And he does today. How much more the mercy and grace that he offers. And it is so much more today through the blood of Christ. If only you'll turn to him. No, I'm not making an altar call. I'm not saying raise your hand. Say a prayer with me. Oh, just say a prayer with me. No, that's not what I'm saying. But there is darkness in this land, folks. There is darkness in the good old USA. Proud to be an American. There's darkness in this land. There's lawlessness in this land. But it's not all bad news, because as we see this darkness come upon the land, we have hope. We have hope in the reassurance of his word, of his command, of his promise, found all throughout the Bible. We have hope. Hadn't got off Texas yet. Still working on Texas, because I want to give them another accolade. May even give them a round of applause here in just a second for something they've just outlawed and banned. But as we see this darkness, this is not the first time. You know, Isaiah was told, and Isaiah told the people then, back in Isaiah 26, what to do, what to expect, what was coming. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't do things unless he tells his anointed what he's going to tell them, what he's going to do. Now, I'm not saying God told me what's happening down in Texas. I'm not. But we can see what's happening in this land, the darkness and the lawlessness. And then if we will take the time, we can see in Scripture where it's happened before. And God doesn't leave us hanging. He always gives us a plan of action to survive, to get by. Isaiah 26, starting in verse 20, just a couple verses here. "Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain." Now, I believe those verses. I believe those verses as much as I believe 1 Peter 5:10 that says the God of all grace will perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish you after you've suffered a little while. And I find great comfort in that scripture. But I do in Isaiah 26 as well. I don't think that it necessarily means we have to close ourselves in our houses and never come out. But we go in and sometimes we have to close ourselves off from the things of this world. Most Christians today, they're not going to think twice about that. Oh, that was just that Old Testament stuff. Jesus dealing with the Jews. It ain't like that now. They just want to think about John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Praise God. Isn't it great that we've got that? And it is. And it certainly is. And God is love. That's the only way that we know what love is. And the only way we can love is because he loved us first. It is, that's for sure. But when you finish reading John 3:16, read through the rest of it. Read through the rest of it. Well, do have the phone lines open tonight. Don't know if I'm going to have the voice for all this tonight, but 307-745-5913. Still talking about Texas. Saw another thing, hats off to Texas, that there was a bill passed or signed by the governor. I wasn't sure. I didn't get all the details. Banning abortion. And again, if I've got anybody in Texas that has a better update on this than I've got, by all means, give me a call and let's share it with the remnant, because that is huge. See, by banning abortion, it not only saves lives. It not only saves the innocent. It not only fulfills the root of Christianity, which is to take care of widows and children. But it destroys the power of the enemy. It destroys the power that the enemy gets when they offer that innocent blood sacrifice to Molech. That is one of the reasons that abortion must be stopped. It destroys them. We brought that to you before. Quotes from, who was it? Nancy Pelosi, I think, that said, this is life or death for us. Oh, it was old Press Secretary Psaki. This is life or death for us. As to whether abortion was available or not. Because it is. Because it gives the enemies of God, who love death and hate God, it gives them power. Not as much power as Jesus Christ. Not as much power as God Almighty, but it gives them power. It gives them power to maintain the spell over so many of the people. And you know, if you have abortion in your background, maybe in your history, you can repent. You can repent and cry out to God and ask him for forgiveness. And he'll forgive you. It's as simple as that. It really is. But we have to stop this in the land. And so I've seen Texas, Governor Abbott, banning abortion. Banning abortion. And that's how it should be. That's how it has to be for any type of Christian America to continue on. It's just as simple as that. Because without it, it is not going to continue on. We have got to, as Pastor used to teach, cut the head of the snake off. Cut off their power. Disconnect them from their leader. And the way you do that is you pull the plug. You pull that old power plug. How many movies do you watch it? That's what they got to do. The computer's going crazy or whatever, and they just got to get down there and get that power plug. And they pull that power plug out. And just it shuts down everything. Texas and Texans, by banning abortion, that's what you do. That's what you are doing. Coming to you live this June 17th, 2021, day before a 91st day. And hats off. My hat's off to you, Texas, Governor Abbott. It's it's a shame that it's come to this, but it's good to see you standing for that. No, Texas isn't perfect. Texans aren't perfect. Governor Abbott's not perfect. But when you make a decision to build a wall to keep out those that want to destroy you, that's a good decision. When you make a decision to reassure the people that they can carry a firearm in the open if they want to defend their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that's a good decision. When you make a decision to ban abortions, that's a great decision. That is pleasing to God. That will go down in the history books, whether it's ones that we get printed and get to see or not. But it will go down in history as, you know, when you read about the old kings and how they would have sons and maybe they did right in the sight of the Lord. And then the next king would come along and it would tell you, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Or the king would come along and it would say he tore down the high places and he put away the cult prostitutes and the temple prostitutes and tore down the high places and things and it would say and he did that which was pleasing to God. Well, these things that Texas has done are pleasing to God. They are. They are. Well, Remnant, I hope you are aware of the change that is going on with the police force. I think the majority of policemen are good people. I do. I know several right here in town. They're not perfect, just like nobody is. You get a group of five devout Christians together, and they're not going to agree on the Sabbath, and they're probably not going to agree on the name. It's just the way it is. So there's good and bad in everything, but the police force is being tore down and rebuilt all across this nation. Not just with the Antichrist and the faggots that are in there, but saw this headline in Portland, Oregon. All 50 of the riot team on the police force retired. Or resigned. And you may say, well, great, we don't even need them. Well, Portland has been, they've been having nightly riots, worse than Fallujah, for the last 14, 15 months. It's utter lawlessness. Yes, Portland, Oregon. Don't believe me. Just Google it. You research and find it. Portland riots. See what the Portland businesses are doing. They still have to pay their taxes. But they can hardly stay open. There's so much death and destruction. And so these 50 riot team members of the police force resigned. And it was because one of them, last year in the riots, was accused of battery or something in the middle of a riot for using his riot baton against a rioter. Go figure. And it's not just in Portland. I just bring this up because Portland has been just a hotbed, and these left-wing liberal idiots that have come out of California and settled in these big towns and think that they are, it's a stronghold that they're making on the West Coast, that they are attempting a stronghold of these cities of lawlessness. And it's working. And so we are seeing policemen retire. I saw a statistic that said New York City in 2021 the amount of police retiring was up 600% over last year. And you're seeing it all over Minneapolis. You're seeing it in many, many of the big cities. And let me tell you this, folks. Guess what policemen are retiring? It's the good ones. It's the good ones. It's the ones that are fed up with trying to go out and protect and serve and trying to do what's right and trying to help. So many of them have a servant's heart, and they've just been battered and bruised and set up and attacked. And then their leadership in the police department doesn't support them. The leadership in city council doesn't support them. They're thrown under the bus. And so I say good riddance. They need to leave. They need to leave, and good riddance to the cities. But Remnant, think about this. A void is not going to continue to be there. And these big cities are going to replace the police officers that leave. And they're not going to replace them with as good a police officers as the ones that are leaving. I can tell you that. They're not going to replace them with as patriotic of a police officer as the ones that are leaving. They're not going to replace them with as white of a police officer as the ones that are leaving. You can bet your boots and throw in your spurs that's how it is. That's how it's already happening. It's already happening. And I have nothing against the other races, but they're different cultures. They're different attitudes. They serve a different God, for the most part. And so we are seeing a huge shift in the demographics. I think that's the right terminology. The demographics, the racial and background makeup of who is going to be the police officers in this nation, in many, many of the big cities. How about Minneapolis? Minneapolis, back in the headlines, National Guard, 100 National Guardsmen of the Minnesota. That's Minnesota, right? Yeah. Minneapolis, the Minnesota National Guard, 100 of them back on call. They're not in Minneapolis yet, but they've been put on call, part of the military police saying, get ready. Get ready, because here it comes again. There are streets that have been completely blocked in Minneapolis. Just blocked. Let's say you have to drive down that street to get to work or to get home from work or to miss a big traffic jam on the other side. Too bad. It's blocked. It's blocked by rioters. And the police and city workers have to go out almost every day and clear the roadway to where traffic can go through. And then about the time darkness hits, here it comes again. They come out like a bunch of banshees. I saw a quote from a St. Paul businessman, and he said, it all changes when the sun goes down. He said, we can stay open and do somewhat of a business during the day, but he said, you better be closed up and out of here by the time it's dark. It's a whole different animal. And it's the lawlessness. Folks, it's not always been this way. It has not. It is not. I turned 56 this year. I grew up in the late 70s and early 80s down in Central Florida. And it's big city down there now, but then it was not like this. I saw this in Minneapolis that the citizens, people that live in Minneapolis, are actually suing the city council, suing their local governments because of the crime rate. The city governments have thrown defunded the police and are just kicking them out. It's not that crime is going down, it gets worse and worse and worse. But there are some people that are waking up. There are some people that are saying, hey, wait a minute. This is ludicrous. This is ridiculous. Like we read Paul's instructions to Timothy. Some, you know, he said, Tim, some have just turned away. Some have just gone ape. We talk about it. They have gone absolutely crazy, is what he told him. That's what he told him. Some men straying from these things. What things? Love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. When you keep reading on in Timothy, you know, it should give you hope. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. You know, maybe you have a sordid past, you might say. Look down at verse 13. Paul says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy. In verse 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. The harvest is ripe, remnant, and the laborers are few. Look out at the land today. The people are looking for answers. People are searching, trying to find out what is going on. And the answers are there in the Bible. They've been told to us time and time again. It is encouraging that there are people waking up in Minneapolis and coming against the city commission and the city government for allowing this lawlessness. It's encouraging that, well, as unfortunate as it may be, but that these 50 police officers in Portland have just resigned. Said, no, you deal with it. And Portland doesn't have... They don't have 50 extra patrol officers to come down and deal with these rioters. So I would say look for the National Guard. You might be seeing it out in Oregon before too long. And not just fighting fires. Oh, wait, we didn't mention the fires. We didn't mention the it's fire season. The fires are firing back up. It's always a little later for California. They've had a few of them. Well, Remnant, we've still got a few minutes. 307-745-5913 if you'd like to give a call. Starting to see some saber rattling from the, I think it's part of the EPA again, the waters of the United States. The WOTUS, it came in under the Obama administration, under the Clean Water Act. But it was changed to the Navigable Waters Protection Rule under the Trump administration because that's what the rules were for. Were supposedly for navigable waters, but EPA, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, he's saying that farmers and ranchers will be part of the, quote, stakeholder groups involved in crafting new regulations. But they are saying that all this there could be great environmental degradation. And so we're already seeing huge changes in the water just this year. We talked about it earlier this year about the drought that Northern California and Oregon and Washington State are going through. How water that is normally stockpiled up from snowmelt and then released out to the farmers there in Oregon is not happening. And this is farmers that already have seed in the ground. They've already plowed and planted. And then, like has happened for the last, 45 years, they wait on the water and it's not coming. And we see the same thing in Southern California. No, it's not making the news. Oh, no, you don't see it in the news, but look at the drought. Look at the drought report. You can, if you don't get a, you know, like a, I get this little weekly agricultural paper here that lets you see the drought and precipitation forecast for June 12 to June 18 below normal for the whole Midwest. Temperature forecast above normal. Precipitation lower. And when you look at the drought, the U.S. Drought Monitor, you can Google that and look that up. A mostly dry week. Yeah, it's been a dry month. It's going to be a dry summer. You've got the extreme North Dakotas in a severe drought. And then half of Colorado, everything west of the Rockies, severe drought. Southwest, severe drought. Southern California, no water. No water. Reminds me of the, we read in the Word that it talks about the drought. Not a drought of water, but a drought of God's Word. And that's what we have. We have a drought of God's Word because God's Word is not spoken. These things have come upon us, this lawlessness, this drought of water, because we've turned and we've allowed this nation and its policymakers to turn us away from God. I still have hope for the nation. I still have hope when I read back through Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, when they went and rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the wall, and they found the law, and they would read it, and the people would be pierced to the heart, not just one family or two, but multitudes. They would be pierced to the heart, and they would return to God. They do that in Nehemiah. They say, "Oh, come, we're going to go back and make a new covenant. We want to re-covenant with our God." And they would do that. They would, they would put away their foreign wives. They would separate themselves. When you read through it, they separated themselves because they knew that they had sinned. You can read it, Ezra, Nehemiah. It's right there before Esther. It's kind of still in the you might say the old part of the Old Testament, just after Chronicles, Ezra 8, verse 22. He says, "The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek Him." And so, do you want the hand of God to be favorably disposed towards you? Then seek Him. Seek Him. You can't sit back and expect God to do it all. He's already done it all. And He tells you in His Word, His hand favorably disposed to all who seek Him. But, you know, there's always a but. But His power and His anger are against all those who forsake Him. Now, I think that has a multitude of applications. For those that are sons of hell, that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, well, I think His power and His anger are against them. But those people of the promise, those people of the covenant, those heirs of the promise that know better and still forsake Him, well, that doesn't cause His hand to be favorably disposed towards you and towards them. It doesn't. I encourage you to read Ezra all through it. It's not a very big book, but it there's so much of it that it is needed today. Ezra 9, verse 5 says, "But at the evening offering I arose from my humiliation. even with my garment and my robe torn, and I fell on my knees and stretched out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, and Remnant, pray this with me, because we need to pray this now. We do. It is what is needed. Oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you. My God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads, and our guilt has grown even to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt, and on account of our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, have been given into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to plunder, and to open shame, as it is this day. He goes on and says, grant us a little reviving in our bondage. For we are slaves, yet in our bondage our God has not forsaken us, but has extended loving kindnesses to us in the sight of the kings, to give us reviving, to raise up the house of our God, to restore its ruins. Read through it. Verse 15 says, O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we have been left an escaped remnant. Well, that's where we are today. That's where we are. That's why we have lawlessness. Oh, not just in Portland, not just on the Texas border, not just in Minneapolis, but St. Paul and Tampa and Denver and everywhere you look. Because we've turned, as Ezra said, on account of this, on account of our iniquities. But he is there to forgive us when we ask for it. Job 5, verse 17 says, behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. That means punishes, makes pay for. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and his hands also heal. That's how it is. That is how it is. Well, Remnant, that's about all the time I got tonight. My voice lasted. And I want to thank you for joining. Thank you for tuning in. I encourage you to come back Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. We will be here, good Lord willing, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. for you on the West Coast. And so we encourage you to join us. We'll be here with a full crew. We'll have our Bibles. We'll have some good hot coffee. And we'll have the phone lines open. And so we do encourage you to join us there. Rejoice always, Remnant. Rejoice always. Remember that the things that come into our lives that are less than ideal, and they come into all of our lives, the storms of life, is how Pastor used to summarize them. The storms of life, they come. So make sure your house is built on that rock of Jesus Christ. Make sure you are well oiled and well tuned, and like the wise virgins have your oil of understanding and have trimmed your wicks, meaning your house is in order, so that you are ready. You know, we're ready for fire season out here. We have a little fire truck up the road. We have water available here. I'd like to think we're ready. When wintertime comes, we do our best to be ready for that, because we know it's coming. Be ready for the storms of life. Have your foundation on that rock that is Jesus Christ. Well, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll talk to you Saturday morning.
How it's really going on.
got the guts to tell the truth. Righteousness is taking a stand, and holiness has drawn its line. The righteous will take it by force and push the evil one back this time. In the name of Jesus, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, it ain't flesh and blood, righteous wars against. It's the evil spirit that's in this world that we totally come against. The only way to win this war is in our churches and in our homes. Praying to the Father in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus. The gates of hell cannot stand when we